I'd like for you to hear the word of the Lord. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen to Paul's words for us. He writes, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given to one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, each and every one of you a part of it." This is God's word for you, God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At 77, Dick Banks isn't slowing down.
You just ride along, you feel the strength in your legs and the air in your hair and the wind in your face.
Banks still works as a petroleum engineer and computer consultant, but his passion is repairing and riding bikes.
Oh, 25 or 50 miles would not be a problem. You hit a pace and you stay with it.
A dozen years ago, he and a couple of biking friends decided to share the joy with elementary school students in a low-income neighborhood near Banks' church in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
There's a lot of bad stuff going on, and there's a lot of mean stuff going on. They can rise above it, and I think I can help them rise above it.
Students who sign up for the bike club and finish 5 days of rides get to keep used bikes that Banks has restored. They also earn helmets and backpacks, and something Banks says some may be lacking at home, words of encouragement.
Tommy, you are a champion.
Banks' church, First United Methodist of Tulsa, backs the effort. Cash donations and bikes come from church members, repair shops, and some just show up.
I may come home and find five or six bicycles on my patio. Yeah!
Those gifts and Banks' dedication offer new pathways for bike club members to explore.
It's like a little bit of freedom because we get to... It's a getaway.
And the club makes riders of all ages feel young at heart.
When I'm on my bike, I am only 18. I'm 18 again.
Just be free and ride.
Well, here's a man who uses his love for cycling and his gift of just being able to repair bicycles, to touch the hearts and the lives of young people and in his community, to make a difference for Jesus Christ. And you know, bicycle repair and creating a bicycle ministry, outreach ministry, is not something that Paul mentions when he talks to us about his gifts and about our gifts in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, but Paul does tell us that God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. My daughter, Sarah, she has this wonderful gift, this wonderful ability to make some of the best tasting melt-in-your-mouth chocolate chip cookies that, you know, I think I've ever tasted. And I really do love chocolate chip cookies. And now I'm a dunker. How about you? We got some dunkers? Oh, yeah. You know, there's just nothing much better than fresh, hot chocolate chip cookies right out of the oven and cold milk, man. And Sarah, she would always make these big batches of chocolate chip cookies so that I could take on my fishing trips whenever I went out with the guys and how we would just enjoy those. But this gift of chocolate chip cookie making's really developed over time for my daughter. Because whenever she first started making these wonderful little morsels, well, they didn't always turn out. Sometimes they were just this gooey glob of chocolate mess, and other times you'd kind of have to hold them down in the milk for about 3 minutes, and then you'd kind of snap them, and then there were those weird-tasting cookies. Whenever she started experimenting in her cooking with when she made the cookies, like adding sage or cloves or rice or, you know. But usually it was something like, you know, I just, you know, I couldn't find the vanilla, so I just left it out. And those of you who know about making cookies, you don't just leave out an ingredient, right? And sometimes, though, it's like, well, I couldn't find any butter. We didn't have any butter, so I just, you know, used a half a bottle of mineral oil instead. I want to tell you folks something. You do not want to be in the middle of a river with waders on, okay, when those mineral oil cookies kick in. But oh my daughter, like her mother, she makes some of the best chocolate chip cookies. And I bet we probably have some really great chocolate chip cookie makers here, don't we? Yeah, I think Amanda's one of those. And there's some others in here too, aren't there? But let me ask you a question. What is the most important ingredient in a chocolate chip cookie? What do you suppose that is?
Chocolate.
Yeah. What about the eggs? Well, okay. What about the vanilla? The milk, the flour, the... So really, what's the most important? Baking soda and not baking powder. But you leave out any one of those and you find out that one ingredient that you left out is essential, because they won't turn out, will they? They will not turn out. All you're going to end up with is blah, right? Right? Each of those ingredients work together, and they each are necessary to make wonderful, melt-in-your-mouth chocolate chip cookies. And this is the principle that Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12, that every part is essential. Every part's essential. Now, this morning I made sure I had some little notes in your bulletins that'll help follow along, because today I'm going to do a little bit more teaching than preaching, but just want to make sure that this might help you. So each part is essential, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, and that every part is needed, and each part must do its job. You see, Paul doesn't use the analogy of chocolate chip cookies. Instead, he compares the church to the human body. And he speaks this truth to us that there are many parts because there are many needs. And without the various parts, some needs would be neglected. And basically what Paul teaches us can be summed up in really four words. We need each other. Don't we? We need each other. Just like a chocolate chip cookie needs each ingredient to become melt in your mouth good, man, we need each other to fully be the church in order to make a difference for the kingdom of God, for us to be melt in your mouth good to our community. In 1 Corinthians 12, we really see three principles of body life within the church that Paul uses to drive home that point of our need for one another. And so the first principle that Paul points us to is that understanding about our need for one another is that each member is indispensable. While every member of the body of Christ is not the same, each of us is essential to the whole. Now, Paul said that the human body is made up of many different parts, and all these parts all work together. Eyes and hands and ears and nose, and they're all essential for the wholeness of the body. Each part is present in order for the body to be complete. If the human body was only made up of one part, then it would cease to be a human body. It would cease to be a body by definition, because a body is made up of many, many parts. And so it is with the body of Christ. God has made us all different. Thank goodness, right? He's made us all unique. He gives us each in particular ways like no one else. We are each necessary and essential. We're both essential and special. We carry out the function for which we are created and gifted by God, whether it's for seeing or hearing or smelling or touching or whatever. Each part must be willing to perform its own function and not to seek to be to seek a function in which it was not intended for, not made for. So what this means is that all of us are indispensable. And we have all been gifted. Some of us are maybe teachers, and some of us perhaps will become pastors. I know we've sent pastors out of this congregation. I got to meet one this morning and all. But some of us will share our gift of healing, and others the gift of hospitality, and some will have that gift of administration, and certainly singing as a family. Wow, you know, and the list goes on. But not everyone will be called to be the pastor, right? And that's okay. But a number of people have been called to be teachers and administrators and healers and sharers of hospitality. And many of us share more than just one gift. But listen, having all of these gifts is useless unless each one of us use our giftedness. Remember, like that cookie dough, your part is indispensable. If you're the vanilla or the egg and you don't let yourself get into the mix, then the cookies, they're never going to turn out. That's just the way it is with chocolate chip cookies, and it's just the way it is in the church. And you know, sometimes getting into the mix scares us to death, or we look at our schedules and we say, well, I just can't add any more in. And guess what? You're probably right. And that's why we often need to look at our life and look at our schedules and see what we can cut out of our busy schedule so that we can do kingdom work, so that we can be about the work that rust and moth will not destroy. You know, there's great things for us to be about in life, but, you know, we can't do every great thing. And so we need to prioritize what are the great things that we are to be about. And I think kingdom building and living out our faith has to be one of those top priorities. I truly believe that. You know, I once served a church where we had just started out this new after-school program for children, and we needed another teacher, and we needed an assistant, and we needed a couple of adult helpers to just kind of hang out with the kids and to watch over the kids. It was really a neat ministry. It was actually in an elementary school, a secular school, and we were able to go and have a kids club at the school and teach about Jesus and play games with the kids. And, you know, we don't get that opportunity very often, and so this was just a really great deal. And I found it fascinating that there were actually people who were parents and who were grandparents that said, you know, that's really not my gift, or man, that's, you know, I've already done my part. I've already done my time. In other words, don't count on my vanilla getting stirred into the cookie dough. And so it made it very difficult for those who did step up and say yes. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, why did you find that so fascinating that a parent or a grandparent would say that's not my gift? Well, let me explain. Now, I know that we all don't have the same gifts. That's biblical. But it's also biblical to test your gifts and to make sure that we continually do this, because gifts can and they do often change. You see, why I find this so fascinating is that if you have raised children And if you've raised them or you are in the process of raising children and you haven't beaten them severely and you've not killed one of them, then probably you can work with children in some way, right? Probably. Now, I'm not saying you ought to be a teacher, you know, or maybe in a teacher's assistant, but there are many roles that we can take on with children. For instance, in this last church, there was this one man who told me that he really didn't think he could work with children because he didn't think he would make a very good teacher. And I said, you know, that's just fine. Can you just go and hang out with the kids? Can you play ball with the kids? Or can you, you know, hold a rope while they skip or whatever? Just be there for them. And guess what? He could do that. And that was something very much needed. Okay? That's what 1 Corinthians 12 is about. That's what it is about sharing our gifts. Each one of us is indispensable in the mix of our cookie dough. We all have a purpose and a place in the church, and each of us is important and essential in order for the church to function as the body of Christ is to function. We have all of these variety of parts that must work together as a whole. We need each other. Now, the second principle in this passage is that each member is also interdependent. Interdependent. Every part of the body of Christ relies on the proper functioning of every other part. Without the cooperative and corporate participation of the various parts of the human bodies, many, if not all, vital tasks would be impossible. I mean, just take, for instance, this simple act of speaking. If any of the parts that are necessary for speech were to decide that they didn't want to participate in this act, it would be impossible for me to talk at... You get it? At this very moment. Speech is only possible when my brain and nerves and tongue and jaws and lips and larynx and lungs and diaphragm and heart and veins and arteries and capillaries and parts unknown to me all work together for this specific purpose. What appears to be on the surface to be the work of only one part of the body is actually a very complex and precise cooperative act of many members of the body. Same's true for the church. Same's true for the church. Each member of the body of Christ is interdependent. Even the most menial functioning of that body requires a coordinated effort between the various parts. Kind of like flying a kite. It really is. Something that we've probably all done. When you fly a kite, how does it really fly? You know? The wind could say, you know, it's all up to me. I'm the one that makes it happen. The paper could say, no, it's really me. The tail could say, uh-oh, you're both wrong. I'm what's necessary to fly a kite. And the string could say, no, without me, that flight would just come tumbling down, that kite would. And the little boy holding the strings would say, no, you're all wrong, because if it wasn't for me running with that string and pulling against the wind, then that kite would never fly. But who really flies the kite, really? If the wind had lulled, you know, if the paper had torn, if the tail had fallen off, if the string had broken, or if that little boy falls down while he's running with that string in his hand. You see, each has a part to play. And folks, God has placed you here. God has placed me here in a strategic role. It's not by chance that you're here. You're an important and an essential part of the effectiveness of this church. Everyone else, hear this, everyone else is depending on you to be here and to carry out your function and to stir what you need to stir into the cookie dough. And I know many of you are. Man, in the last couple of months I've been here, I've seen you at work in so many different ways. I've seen you visiting. I've seen you doing mission work and working on Wednesday nights, and I've got to share in some of those Wednesday nights. Been able to listen to many of you sharing your heart as you share the gospel, helping out with dinners and working with children and youth and leading adults and serving various ministries within the church, fixing walls and painting offices and making cookies and handing out bottled water. And making pecan pies and other things for the bake sale out here for our young people. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for that. And I also want to encourage you to just keep it up. Keep that good work up. Being the body and working together and being there for one another. You know, it's so easy in this consumer-driven world of ours to be led to think that we really are the ones to be served. Even in the church, when in reality, God calls us to share our gifts and to really make a difference in this world, sometimes in big ways and in other times in very, very small ways. But I hope you see this morning that those little bitty small ways, they're just as important. Each is essential, whether it's just a little bit of, what was that, baking soda? Or baking. Not baking powder, baking, whether it's just a little bit of baking soda or a little bit of salt, we're each essential. You see, God did not create us to make us to just fit in to this world of ours. God made us distinctively and creatively to make a difference. God, who knows all about us, distributing gifts to be used to fulfill needs of humanity and creation. I want to tell you, God didn't make us to just fit in, but to become fit. And what I mean for that is fit for service. Fit for His service and making a real difference in people's lives and for furthering the work for His kingdom at every and at any age. Just like that 77-year-old man who fixes bicycles and touches the hearts of and the lives of young people in his community. You see, the gifts that God imparts, the gifts that God gives us, they're not for us. Never intended to be for us. But they're for Christ's church. They are for others. They are our using these gifts for our world. You see, the final principle that Paul conveys to us is that each member is interconnected. Each one of us, we are interconnected. That is, whatever affects one member of the body of Christ is felt by all the members of the body of Christ. When one of us hurts and one of us is in sorrow, we all hurt along with one another. When one of us celebrates 60 years of marriage, we all celebrate with you and we're all sharing that joy. You know, let me give you most of us don't give a whole lot of thought to our toes, you know, especially our little pinky toe. Except whenever you're maybe playing that little game with children, you come to that last little toe and you go wee 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 all the way home, right? Right? Pinky toes, it's just not something we spend lots of time thinking about. But some of us might not even be sure that we even have one still. But leave your shoes on, just, you know, the person next to you will appreciate that. You can check later. But suppose you're at home and you're running around barefoot and you carelessly bump that little bitty pinky toe into the leg of a chair. I want to tell you, it's going to become immediately evident that your pinky toe does in fact exist, right? Every part of your body is going to join into that pain. The leg and the foot that is not injured is going to begin to jump up and down. Your back is going to bend. Your arm is going to reach out. Your hands and your fingers are going to begin to work to give a massage to that little pinky toe. And all the members for speech will join in with groans and words that probably should not be expressed in church, right? No part of your body is going to go untouched by that injury to your little pinky toe. All will be affected, and all will come to its aid. And friends, that's how it's supposed to work in the body of Jesus. You see, that's what Paul is saying to us in 1 Corinthians 12, that if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, man, every part, it rejoices with it. We're all related, you know? There are ties between each of us that make us inseparable. Paul describes those ties in 1 Corinthians 12, 13. He says, For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We're all given that one Spirit to drink. We are interconnected. When something happens to one member of our church body, whether that's good or bad, all of the other members of that body are to respond accordingly. In practical terms, that means I cannot be blind to what's happening in your life, and you can't be blind to what's happening in mine. If each of us is going to remain a vital part of this local body, then we have to do our part, seeing that we are in touch with the other members of our body. We have to know who's hurting. You know, that's why we do celebrations and joys and where you seen God at work in the life of the church and in your life. That's why we do that. We have to know if anyone's hurting and join them in their suffering. We have to know if they're rejoicing and join them in their happiness. We are interconnected to one another. And we must share in the experiences of each other. So I want to encourage you to get to know the various parts, because I happen to know for a fact that there are some of you in this church who don't know maybe the person across the aisle from you. You might not even know their name. And I want to encourage you to do something about that. Don't just spend all your time with certain parts of the body. Make yourself known to others. You take the first step. Don't wait until someone that you really don't know comes to you. You go to them. And keep your eyes focused outward to the needs of others. You know, join others in their grief and their joy. And remember those four words. We need each other. We need each other. You see, our human bodies work together in order that we can live full lives in this world. As the body of Christ, we must work together. This is one of the ways in which we become fit. And so again, I want to encourage you to just throw your vanilla, okay? Throw your vanilla into the mix. Use your gifts that God has graced you for in this church. And as you and I do this together, each and every one of us working our part together, I want to tell you, we are going to make a difference, a wonderful difference for the kingdom of God right here in this community here at Selma, because, you know, we'll become melt in your mouth good to a world starving for Christ. But we do that by needing each other first. We need each other. So let's rely on one another. Let's share with one another. Let's use our gifts to build Christ's church and throw our vanilla into the mix, or our baking soda, or our whatever, or our ministry with mentoring the kids, or bringing a pecan pie, or handing out, or bringing some water, or whatever that might be. We need each other to truly be His church. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank You for all Your grace. And Lord, we thank You for these words from Paul, and he teaches us that how we are a body and how we are all connected to each other, and that each one of us is essential, and all of us are indispensable in this thing that You call us to ministry, this work about the kingdom. And so, Lord, just grace us and lead us and help us to stay fit for You and to serve You and in the way in which You call as you've graced us with gifts. For these we give you thanks, Jesus. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.